this is Kendra Brodeen, founder and CEO of WomenLawyersOnline.com. And today, I am thrilled to bring you Lori Giles. Lori is a graduate of Springfield College and Rutgers University School of Law, and she founded the law office of Lori Giles 20 years ago with the guiding principles that clients deserve and must receive compassionate, experienced, and aggressive representation. Currently, Lori Giles' practice concentration is twofold. First, representation of those facing life-altering situations such as divorce, custody, and estate planning. And second, guiding clients to proactively prepare for unexpected life-altering situations such as disability, aging of self and loved ones, and other serious illness. Attorney Giles, Lori, she earned a certificate in divorce mediation from Syracuse University, and she maintains a divorce and family mediation practice. She also serves by special invitation as a family special master for the Connecticut Superior Court. She is the author of the book, What Now? Elder Planning, A Step-by-Step Guide to Navigating Through Your Parents' Divorce, and What Now? Divorce Planning, A Step-by-Step Guide to Navigating Through Your Divorce. Lori is also the host of What Now?, her Insight Media production. Lori is a certified personal transition and redefining life coach. Her unique perspective as both an attorney and life coach allows her to help women navigate through what is often the overwhelming legal maze, while at the same time gain self-confidence that they need to come through on the other side stronger, wiser, and more ready to create the life they deserve. Lori, I am delighted to have you on the call today.
I am absolutely thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Kendra. This is great. Thank you.
You are very welcome. We're going to have a great conversation, and why don't we just jump into it, and we'll have some time to talk around your answers to these various questions. Starting with, as you look back at your life, Lori, and you look back at your personal life and your professional life, including your educational career and your law practice and also your work as a life coach and some other things that you've been up to, which are all very exciting, would you say that you've always been good at or adept at the balancing the work and the life types of demands, or is it something that there feels like there was a critical point or a pivotal point in your life where something had to give and you had to do things differently?
Well, I think that question is kind of twofold. I've generally been able to balance my work, my professional life, and my personal life, but it has, you know, it means that you're continually changing. It's a constant challenge. It requires you to really reevaluate and set out your life priorities and make it work. The key is to be aware that life changes and priorities change, so what worked 5 years ago may not work today. So when you ask if it was a pivotal moment, there have been so many pivotal moments along the way. When I had a baby, there was a moment of, do I go back to work full-time? What do I do? When she entered school, as my parents aged and needed help, as my life changed, as my desires to help my community, and now that I'm an empty nester. So it's an ever-revolving kind of thing that goes on, and you have to sit back. For me, I have to sit back and say, okay, so what are my priorities now, and how do I do that? But you can't look, like I said, at what happened 5 years ago and think it's going to happen now.
It's so true that there is that ever-evolving mystery of life that just about the time you think you've got something balanced out is when something new comes along, or you decide to take another job or add another child to your family, or like you transition in not being a parent to being a parent to being an empty nester, all those major life changes that really change what work-life balance looks like.
Absolutely, and I think that that's what we have to allow ourselves to do, to understand that it's a moving target. It's never going to be the same.
I love how you say a moving target, because it's,
it really
it's
life
a great metaphor. I haven't used that one yet, and I like that.
It really is.
It really is. It's true. You know, again, just to think you've got it in your sights, and then, whoop, it's over there. No, it's over there. And
it's done.
Do we ever catch it? We get close. Well, Lori, then, as you sort of think back about those, you mentioned a lot of different pivotal points, so to speak, along your journey where things shifted and things changed. What would you say then might be the one biggest challenge or struggle, if there was, or maybe there's a couple, but what would you say that biggest struggle has been as you've been trying to create some balance and some alignment between your professional and personal lives? What has been the biggest challenge?
I think the biggest challenge, like with life, it changes. For me and for so many women, especially those of us who are in the sandwich generation, life becomes a juggling act, keeping all the balls in the air. Attorney, community worker, mother, daughter, girlfriend, all of those balls are going. The key is to, when the stray ball hits, to keep everything still going. So for me, it's a matter of staying organized, prioritizing, and staying focused on the big picture and not letting the stray ball take over. So that's been the biggest struggle for me, really, is doing that. It's easier said than done. When the crisis hits, it's easy. It was much easier to say, well, if this ever happens, I would.
Mm-hmm. But when it actually happens, remembering what you said when you said, if this happens.
Much different. When you
really
get the phone call.
Yes. We could just write ourselves notes and keep them. In case of this situation, pull me out and I'll tell you what to do. But it's not always that beautifully predictable or that we remember what we thought in those moments of less crisis. What would you say then as a flip side to that, in terms of your biggest challenge being keeping up with the changes, keeping up with the curveballs that life throws, what would you say has been your biggest lesson on the journey? And maybe it has something to do with that, or maybe it's completely distinct. But what's your biggest learning or teaching?
The biggest lesson that I've learned is that human relationships must be your number one life priority. At the end of the road, what do you really have? Just your relationships. Your family, your friends, your relationship to God. Those are the relationships that you need to maintain. Clients will come and go, community problems come and go, but the reality is that your personal relationships have to be the priority in your life. Your children are only going to be little once, thank goodness.
That's true.
But you have to put your relationships first and foremost.
Well, and like you said, and I laugh and then I feel sort of instant mommy guilt because I have two young daughters, and I wouldn't trade those moments for the world, and I'm trying to savor them because I know they're fleeting, the moments where I can walk down the street and my six-year-old slides her hand into mine. You know I'm going to be the most uncool thing on earth in a few years, and so I want to enjoy that while it lasts. At the same time, it is very challenging with the little ones, and yet I know from watching friends and colleagues that when the kids get older and they're busy and they're involved in different things and, you know, hormones are running high and all these other things that I'm already getting heart palpitations worrying about, that it doesn't get easier, it just gets different.
It really does. And that, with the relationship that you develop with your children when they're little is going to be the same relationship that they have when they're, like my daughter, 20. And frankly, I don't see how you could start parenting an 18-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many memories, and to me, life is about the memories. It's the expression, I guess, it's not about how many breaths you take, but how many moments take your breath away.
That's right. I love that. Love that one. That's right. Exactly. And as you said, to focus on those relationships, because really, there are very few things at the end of our lives that I would guess that most people would look back on and value more than our relationships, be they with a spouse or partner, our children, our friends, our parents, our siblings, our God, whatever it is, whoever it is, there is very little, or even just the community, as you said, being a community advocate or a community servant of some sort, we're people in the midst of people, and those are what's most important. So if we can keep that perspective, it seems what you're saying is that other things will fall into place when we keep that priority.
They absolutely will. You just have to keep focused on what's really important to you.
Mm-hmm. Lori, with that big lesson in mind, or maybe completely separate, I'm wondering if there are different tools or strategies or just ways of thinking or being that you've discovered or utilized over the course of your journey, your personal and professional journey, to help you make that balance or make that transition between sort of life phases, anything that you could suggest that might be more practical or tactical to help the women who are listening?
You know, I really have five tips that I've used over the years that have really served me well. First, keep very well organized a to-do list. Prioritize what's important to get done. Make decisions based on whether or not your head and your gut agree. If they don't agree, it's the wrong decision. If they do agree, absolutely. It may not seem like it's everyone else, but it is the right decision for you. Don't be all things to all people. Don't try to do it all yourself. You learn that particularly as you're in the sandwich generation, you're trying to do for your kids and your parents, and you just can't do it all. And it's okay not to be perfect. And finally, I live by the idea that live your purpose. Everyone has a life purpose. And we live with the purpose of doing what we are meant to do. That's when real success comes.
That's beautiful in terms of really being aware of and taking the time to discover your purpose in your work. And I think for lawyers, sometimes we forget that we are a service orientation or a profession, because so many, I think women in particular, but men as well, want to be of service. We think, well, how can, you know, do we have to go out and work in 14 different nonprofits and do all this charitable work and pro bono work and everything? But ideally, we're also remembering that we are a service profession. We're serving the needs of our clients. And I highly encourage, of course, charitable work and those sorts of things. But to be able to find our purpose within our legal work helps us get up in the morning and helps us feel excited about the work we're doing each day rather than just plodding through it in an effort to bring home a paycheck and then running out the door screaming as fast as we can so we get home to our completely separate home life.
You're absolutely right. For me, I need to, one of the reasons I became a life coach is because, particularly doing divorce work, I realized that a lot of my clients at the end of the day, at the end of the divorce process, they're just lost. So I now have a much more holistic approach to my divorce. It's, okay, I can get you divorced in Connecticut in 90 days, but who are you at the end of that? Let's plan that through. Let's get that done. So I like to really look at my clients in a very holistic manner.
I'm sure that serves them in a much higher way as well when you're not just looking at the divorce, but you're looking at them as individuals and what they're going to encounter after that divorce.
And that's what we need to do. And that's one thing so many times lawyers will forget to do. We'll get a file on our desk, and the idea is to just push it off the desk to get the business out of the way. Mm-hmm. But there's so much more to that. Yes, for example, divorce or personal injury are legal processes, but there's a person that's involved with that. And how do you make sure that that person is whole?
If we can think of, I love that point. If we can think of making our clients whole, and that doesn't just mean in sort of the legal sort of compensation for their injuries way and making them whole, but really whole, the different facets, not that I would encourage people to play therapist or social worker to someone, but to at least be mindful of that and be aware of how we can serve in a more holistic way. Or maybe there's referrals even, just to have that tool in the toolbox to pass along to a client where maybe they're a divorce attorney and they're not as comfortable as you are, since you're a coach, dealing with some of those post-divorce issues, but at least to have a business card to hand to somebody, recognizing that they're going through more than just the legal process.
I try to get clients and to understand that there should be a team approach. Your lawyer doesn't know medicine. At least I don't. And very often, very few of us do. We don't know accounting. We know some basic things. But get a team together and encourage clients to deal with their whole, all of their issues, not just a narrow legal focused issue.
That's it, because it is. It's so much more than just the one legal issue for people. And again, we see people in some of their most broken states where they're going, I mean, certainly as a divorce attorney and other situations that go on for folks and some of the other work you do, you're seeing people at some of their lowest moments when they're coming, and to recognize that and not just, like you said, think of it as a file to push off the debt to, you know, be done with and put into the file cabinet, but to really think of them as people who are in need of a lot of different things. And again, not to try to be all things to all people, as you suggested, because you didn't suggest that. Reminded us not to try to be everything, but I love your idea of team approach and how can we draw together experts or facilitators in a variety of different areas to help with the whole person.
And that's what people need. Everyone needs that. And that's what lawyers owe their clients. is to help the person get through to the next phase.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what we hope for them, is we're hoping them get out of this most likely nasty place where they are and get to that next place that's hopefully a little more lovely and enjoyable for them. Lori, what would, and I'm just looking back at these five tips that you suggested, and they're all just rich in wisdom. Do you have, you mentioned a prioritized to-do list, and I'm wondering, and just keeping well organized, are there other tools or things that, suggestions you might have in order that women could use to stay more organized or that you have found that worked for you?
You know, I'm a very visual person, so every week I sit down on Monday morning, first thing, and figure out every single thing that I have to do, put each task on a separate post-it, believe it or not, and put it up on my big board that has each day. And that way I'm looking at exactly what my goals are, exactly what I have to get done, and then I get the satisfaction of taking it off and ripping it up. It sounds like a small thing, but it's a big thing. At the end of the day,
good.
I have 500 left, and I never feel overwhelmed because I see exactly, and if things get a little crazy, I can move my stuff to a different day.
And did you, I'm sorry, what did you say you used? Did you use paper or Post-its? Or?
I use those little Post-it notes, yep. And lots. I have every possible color.
I love Post-its. I think they are actually, I'm in the Twin Cities of Minnesota, and they're invented by 3M up here, the embedded Post-its. And I wish I could send flowers or something. They're such a gift.
Well, that's, I have no idea, because then I feel so overwhelmed of, yes. Okay, I have 400 things to do this week. But if I'm looking at them and going, hitting them one by one, it feels great.
That, and I love the Post-its, too, because, like you said, you can move them around. I mean, it does allow you. It's not like taking out a Sharpie marker and writing something in your planner. And if it doesn't get done or if life happens, it's unforgiving. With the Post-its, you get done what you can. You enjoy ripping those up and taking them off and seeing those come off of the wall or the poster board or whatever you use. But then you can move them. And I love that. Even within your planner, I have a planner. And same thing with Post-its, where if I can do the same thing right within my planner. And sometimes I do have to move it to the next day. And I need, as long as I did my best today and I'm not just making excuses, I can forgive myself for having to move a couple things to the next day.
And that's so important, for particularly for women, because we are juggling so many different life roles. So you can never know when your child is going to get sick. And my daughter, when she was little, only, I swear, got sick enough to go home from school on days she saw me leave the office, leave the house with a suit on, knowing I was on trial.
Sneaky little one. But it's true.
I swear she knew this. So it's a matter of being able to say, okay, well, I can rearrange when life happens, and it will happen.
That's right, and it will happen at inconvenient times, like you said. It will,
always.
They know. But to be able to have that fluidity again and flexibility around it with the Post-it notes or writing in your planner in pencil, something that allows you a bit of forgiveness when life happens. And again, I always want to make sure that people aren't just, oh, well, I'll just do it tomorrow, move it off. But again, with lawyers who are juggling lots of things, I think, you know, we do get as much done in the day as we possibly can. And when we get to that point and it comes to either losing a bit of our sanity or going home and spending time with people that we love, I think that's a really good time to just move those Post-its over, feel good about what we got done for the day, and move on.
And allow yourself to do it.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And forgive yourself as if it's a bad thing. Just celebrate what you got done and then realize that you've got tomorrow to get the rest done.
Exactly. And that's what we have. That's so important for everyone to remember.
Mm-hmm. It's and I'm just looking through these other things that you suggested, and that also I wonder if you could speak for a second just around making a decision with the head and the gut, because I think there's something to be said for that feminine intuition or whatever you want to call it. But it sounds like there's when those two things link up and you get the green light, you're saying go for it.
Those are two things that have never failed me. Any decision that I've made that I thought, maybe not the right decision in my gut but seemed right on paper, has always turned out wrong, and vice versa. So I always say that when those two things match, when I know in my head that it makes sense, logical sense, and it feels right in my gut, it's the right thing.
Mm-hmm. There is something about that psychological response and that physical response, I think, when we're sensitive to it, and we actually even practice trusting it, because sometimes we don't trust it until, like you said, we start to do it over and over again, and then all of a sudden we think, oh, last time I trusted this, it worked, and look, it worked again, and then you start to recognize it a little bit more. Sometimes we tune it out so much that it's very faint, but the more we listen to it, the louder it gets.
And we just really do have to trust it. When have you ever been wrong when you trusted your gut? Probably never.
That's right. That's right. We're smart people. We're attorneys. You know, we're very analytical, and I think it's hard to remember that we have that small, still voice within us that speaks truth to us if we just listen, and we can combine it. And like you said, sometimes you get that validation from both your head and your gut, and maybe not always. Maybe you just have to trust the gut, because our head tells us other things. But when you said when you get both, it's a good thing to run after.
You have to. You owe it to yourself to do that.
That's a good way to put it, too, because sometimes we just miss it, and then we don't know what we're missing. We might be missing something really terrific.
Don't always go with just logic. Go
That's
with what
right.
feels good sometimes, too.
That's right. It's a habit we need to break sometimes as lawyers, to just be always focused about what's going on in our heads, and get out of that sometimes and focus on what's going on in our hearts or in our guts, and remember that there's wisdom there as well. And also, you mentioned not being all things to all people and not trying to do it all. Could you speak a little bit more to that, just, you know, the way we try to please everyone, make everyone happy all the time? Maybe not the best strategy.
It's probably always the wrong strategy.
Yeah.
And I think most lawyers, we have these great vocabularies, unbelievable vocabularies, but the word we don't have in our vocabulary is no.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to understand. We need to say, no, I can't. Phrases that just are so foreign to most lawyers. The answer is you can't be all things to all people. You can't serve 400 different clients and everyone else in your life and still have time for you. You've got to be able to say, no, I just can't do that right now.
Would you, and it sounds like, you know, to your point, you're talking a little bit about taking time for yourself, too. And when we say yes to everyone else, we're really saying no to ourselves. It sounds like maybe there's a advocacy for some self-care in there as well.
And I think that people should schedule their self-time every day. Even if it's just 5 minutes, if you're in the crisis, but regular life, absolutely schedule time for yourself. Schedule a half hour, 10 minutes or whatever. Do something that makes you feel good. If it's going to the gym, if it's praying, if it's reading a book, whatever it is, do it. You have to have me time, because mm-hmm. You have to take time to refill.
Yeah, that's true. If we just keep pouring out, then we're not serving anyone. We're serving our loved ones or serving our clients. We're just pouring all the time. There's a metaphor that a good friend of mine shared with me, and she said, serve from your saucer, not just serve from a full cup, but if you envision a teacup and a saucer and an overflowing teacup, as if you were pouring in and it was overflowing, that you serve from the saucer. So you keep yourself filled, and then what's overflowing is what you can serve from. It was just a little different take, and I really thought it was interesting.
Oh, that is absolutely great, and we should really be doing that. You cannot serve everyone if you're not serving yourself.
I know. I think it was a different way of thinking of the metaphor of, you know, serving from your cup, where we think deplete, 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 fill up, deplete, 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 fill up. You know, if we think of trying to keep ourselves full and then going above and beyond so that we can serve those we love and care about and are called to serve, then it is even a better reminder to just take care of ourselves, and be that exercise or other forms of self-care or spiritual fullness, whatever that looks like. They're so important.
I heard someone say the other day that humans have four houses, spirit, mind, intellectual, and emotional, and we usually live in one of those houses, and we need to spend time every day in all four houses.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. That's so true. You're right, because sometimes we get caught up in one house, you know, and we do. And
we'll get the workhouse for most of us.
That's right. That's right. And that's the thing. We spend our whole day in the one house, and we just never even step foot in the other ones. And that's maybe to our own detriment, where we don't pay attention to those other parts of ourselves that are sometimes whispering, sometimes screaming for some attention, as in when we find ourselves suddenly sick or incapacitated because we just haven't taken time to take care of our bodies.
We have to. We have to be balanced people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, Lori, I appreciate your time today. I appreciate your wisdom. And I'm wondering if there's websites or other things you'd like to share with others to let them know how to reach you, how to learn more about what you're up to.
Well, as you said at the outset, my mission really is to help women navigate through not only the legal and emotional maze but of life-altering situations, but how to come through the other side. So I do have the two books out, which you mentioned earlier, and my website is LauriGiles.com. And I also offer complimentary coaching sessions and elder planning and divorce planning consultations on that site as well.
Great. Thank you for sharing those. Again, that was both the Lori Giles website and the Lori Giles Esquire site?
Yes, there are two sites. One for my law practice, which is based strictly in Connecticut, which is the Esquire, the Lori Giles ESQ.com. Mm-hmm. And then for life coaching and planning, it's LauriGiles.com.
Excellent. And I'll just spell your name real quick for folks. It's Lori is L-A-U-R-I-E. Giles, G-I-L-E-S, and for the coaching site, and you said it was the elder law, the elder planning for that one, LauriGiles.com, and then the legal practice is LauriGilesESQ.com. Is that correct,
yes.
Lori? Did I get that?
Yes, it is.
All right. I want to make sure folks know how to connect with you and how to learn more about the work you're doing, as well as your books and your coaching, all sorts of fantastic things. So with that, Lori, just thank you again. Thank you for taking the time and being with me on the call. You've given so much, and I appreciate it deeply.
Thank you so much, Kendra. This has been great.
Oh, you're very welcome. My pleasure entirely. And with that, we'll close out the conversation with Lori. I appreciate everyone who is here listening to the words or reading these words in a transcription form. I hope that you find things from Lori's experience and the words of wisdom that she has shared that you can implement either immediately or in the very near future to make your life and your law practice all that it can be, so that you love both your life and the legal practice that you have. So until next time, this is Kendra Brodine, founder and CEO of WomenLawyersOnline.com, wishing you real success always and in all ways. Thank you for being here so much. Bye-bye.